be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Please do be seated.
Well, happy Christmas to you all. What a joy and privilege it is to be reflecting this morning upon the significance of this wonderful day. A few weeks ago, I was preparing a Christmas activity for some of our Sunday Club children, and I went to an online search engine. I chose images and I inputted Christmas shepherd. Well, I was quite taken aback by the result. This is what I got. Well, the first result is indeed a drawing of shepherds in the field illustrating the story we just heard read. But the second was of a German shepherd wearing a Christmas wreath. And the fifth was a German shepherd in a Santa costume. The second row is half German shepherds, the third is more than half, and the fourth is entirely made up of German shepherds in various states of Christmas attire.
They're a good job.
This is our world's expectation of what I'm likely to be after if I search Christmas shepherd. It really got me thinking about the disconnect between Christmas as the celebration of Jesus' birth and what Christmas has become in popular culture. So I tried something else. I searched meaning of Christmas. Well, responses range from the fairly inane, "Christmas means fellowship, feasting, giving and receiving, a time of good cheer and home." There was the comical. "Christmas, the only time of the year in which one can sit in front of a dead tree and eat candy out of socks." Well, then there was the superstitious. The meaning of the Christmas decorations included that the Star of Bethlehem helps with coming back home from a long journey. This person believes that the paper chains remind them of sins, intensify family ties, and protect them against troubles. And finally, they claim that the tree is the source of life. At Christmas, they're looking to the tree as their source of life. Well, then there was the pseudo-religious. "Christmas is not a time or a season, but a state of mind. To cherish peace and goodwill, to be plenteous in mercy, is to have the real spirit of Christmas." Well, this latest example reminds me a little of some research that was done in the UK about the Ten Commandments. What they found was that people loved some of the kind of good to your neighbour commands: do not steal, do not lie. But they rejected the commandments that were focused on God. such as there's only one God, have no idols, observe the Sabbath. This image likewise picks up on the good person vibes, while missing the true heart of Christmas. It misses the reason why we would find peace and goodwill and mercy at Christmas. There are examples that sounded good at a first reading until I reflected a little more. The greatest gift you can ever own is not found in the shops or under your Christmas tree. It's found in the hearts of your loving family and your true friends. It's really lovely to reflect on the importance and blessing of family and friends. They are a gift, but are they really the greatest gift you can receive? Well, there were two examples that I did like. Someone came up with the idea of turning John 3:16 into a Christmas tree visual. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And there was this one. As we seek Christ, as we find him, as we follow him, we shall have the Christmas spirit, not for one fleeting day each year, but as company always. So as this was running through my mind, what our society thinks Christmas is about, I was browsing a news website and an ad caught my eye. Ooh, I wonder what the Salvos will have to say. They're a Christian organisation, but it's an ad in a public news site. I expected it was probably going to be a bit Christmas is about giving and loving and a bit of a watering down of the real meaning. I was a little wary of the phrase mindful and merry, but I was interested enough to click and scroll to find out more about six ways to be mindful and merry this Christmas. Well, this was point one. Write to Santa. Now, to be fair, they're talking about writing a thank you letter to Santa, taking time to be thankful and grateful. But for this to be the number one suggestion for how to connect with the real meaning of Christmas? Well, let me share just one more example before we climb out of this mire and find out what truly is the meaning of Christmas. The Uniting Church this year came up with the idea of rewriting the words to some of the popular Christmas carols. Now, this is not a new idea. Some have been rewritten in the past to be more gender inclusive. Joy to the world, let us our songs employ. Some have been rewritten to update archaic terms. Not many of us understand what it would mean to describe Jesus' stable as rude or describe Jesus as being in mean estate. Well, this recent rewriting was done with a different motivation. It was effectively replacing Christ with green technology. Now, our care for the environment is important. Jesus, whose birth we celebrate, is the same Jesus who told the parable of the talents, who told us that God expects us to be good stewards of everything he has given us, and that includes our world. But they've replaced joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king, with cool down the world, the time has come for targets tight and fair. They've replaced let heaven and earth rejoice with let's fund renewables. They've replaced he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness with cool down the world, the time has come to make the nations prove their money is where their mouth is. Well, as I said, care for our environment is really important, but we cannot replace Christ with green technology. We are the stewards of all we've received, and we're commanded by God to be stewards of his world. But Christmas, as with all the year, we must set our eyes firmly on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. All the good works in the world come to naught if we have not Jesus. All the good intentions in the world come to naught if we have not Jesus. All our efforts to bring justice or hope or peace into our world come to naught if we have not Jesus. Jesus Christ the Lord, born in an inn in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Well, I'm so thrilled to be here with you all today, because we are here today because we know the truth and we've chosen to come and celebrate this Jesus Christ. We've chosen to make being here this morning our priority. We run in counter to society's maxims about what Christmas is about, and we've gathered today to worship the true source of joy, hope, justice, peace, and family. Now, how do we describe that truth? Well, here is my favourite image from my Meaning of Christmas search. It doesn't use words at all. Here in this picture, we see the pregnant Mary comforting the distressed Eve who has been banished from the Garden of Eden. The serpent is wound around Eve's leg, yet his head is crushed under Mary's foot. I also like the way that the hope for Eve is only hinted at. We cannot yet see Jesus, but we see the sign of his coming. Christmas is the beginning of the reversal of the great calamity for humankind that began with the fall in the Garden of Eden recorded in Genesis chapter 3 in our Bibles. The significance of Christmas is the birth of Jesus, our Saviour. In a world where we're bombarded with false and shallow messages about Christmas, it's important to be really intentional about recognising and focusing on the true message. What a joy to be among the Lord's people this morning, people who know this and cherish this and celebrate it. Well, according to the angels whose words were recorded in today's reading, the message and meaning of Christmas is, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favours. This is the meaning of Christmas recorded by Luke. And Luke also records for us some appropriate responses to this message. For example, the shepherds. We heard that they made known what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. The shepherds shared the news. They told everyone they met. They glorified and praised God. What a wonderful response to Jesus' birth. We also hear in Luke of Mary's response. She treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Christmas is an appropriate time for really reflecting upon all that the Lord has done. For Mary and the shepherds, they had only a glimpse of all that it meant for the Messiah to have been born. We have the benefit of knowing all that was yet to come in Jesus' life. As Jesus completed his mission, so much more unfolded. His mission was to restore what had been broken through human sin and rebellion. We can today more fully understand just how and why this birth is such good news. The meaning of Christmas is more fully known to us, but how much did Mary know? How much did Mary understand as she pondered all that she had seen and heard? This clip that we're about to see ties together for me in a really beautiful way the fullness of the meaning of Christmas.
Mary, my betrothed, you have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. And the sweetest smile.
Don't be afraid.
I'm the Lord's servant.
Help us! Please!
Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
His name is Jesus.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you
baptize me.
This
child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, do you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man?
Peter,
Mary,
where's my son?
Do you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Didn't you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
My son.
Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again.
Come out of him.
The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praise is out. Mary, did you know?
Tell me who you are.
That your baby boy is Lord of
Jesus.
All creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
So Christmas is not primarily the remembrance of a baby born, or of a family saved by an angel's warning, or hope overcoming difficulty, or the celebration of family, or even generosity and care for others. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who chose to come to earth, who chose to take on our humanity in order to bring us with him to God. This is the meaning of Christmas. It is truly worth celebrating. It is truly full of meaning, and it truly brings us joy and hope. Our response is important. The shepherds could have sat back and thought, cool, we just saw angels. They could have debated the angels' words and got on with their busy lives. They could have felt pride that they got to see angels. They could have decided that their own lambs were more important than the Lamb of God. But for them, the news was a call to action. Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. This insight gives us a clue as to how we can receive God's peace and favor. It was promised by the angels, but we must take action by personally responding to the Prince of Peace. God's favour is available to all, but we must respond to his call in order to receive it. We must believe the news, accept it, and live it out. If you're visiting us today and you're not exactly sure how to respond to the Lord's call, then please don't leave without speaking to one of the pastors or someone who welcomed you this morning, because it would be our joy and privilege to share with you some more and get to know you. And you're also very welcome to find out more during our services in 2019. The birth of Jesus is good news of great joy. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favours. May peace and joy be your gift and inheritance this Christmas, and may the favour of the Lord rest upon you. Amen.